Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Wrestling World 247. I am your host for today, Jordan Garber, and my co-host at this time is none other than Gerard Smith. We have a special guest on tonight, former Illinois wrestling promoter Bob Brooks. It should be good, but Gerard, how are you doing today, sir? Or am I speaking with Mr. Brooks?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, you got promoter Bob Brooks on the line with you guys.
Hello, Mr. Brooks. Great. Sorry, my friend's driving me crazy messaging me. And just give me 1 second here, Mr. Brooks. Can you take it away for 2 minutes?
Hey, not a problem. You know, we're going to have a great show tonight, so we're ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell the fans all about yourself and everything and go from there?
All right, we'll do. I promoted Chicago, which was Tri-State Wrestling in Chicago, and we had some of the greats. We had the Claw Master, Baron Von Raschke. We had Abdullah the Butcher, and a gentleman that most of you would know by The Undertaker. We actually had him when he was known much before that because he did come out of the service. And so we'll give you a little secret information on. He wasn't always the Undertaker, so we'll look at that. And we had some of the greats. We had our tag team champions, the fabulous Kelly Brothers, and they were just outstanding. They took the belts and held on to them for several years, and they were some great champions. They weren't always the best guys in town, nicest guys in town. Our women's wrestling champion was Misty Dawn. And she was a wrestler, and that's something that we want to talk about as well. And we talked about it last week, the difference between sports entertainment and professional wrestling. And Misty Dawn, and I will tell you, to the professional wrestling star, not sports entertainment. So, you know, we had some great wrestling stars. Like I said, some great matches with Abdullah the Butcher, Spike Huber, Dick the Bruiser's son-in-law. And I'll tell you what, we just had a great time with professional wrestling, and I love talking about it now.
Excellent. And we have a surprise. We have a surprise. We have a return. And we're going to talk about the history of wrestling in Illinois and do all that. Sorry about the beginning. You know, literally, a story and a walk in Jordan Garber's life. Every day I wake up, and this is why I want to say this on the public. I am not getting a cell phone anymore. I'm done with technology. Yeah, I have too many friends. Like, I have a group of, I have 3 circles I stick with, but they all battle for who comes over, and then they all fight because they don't all want to hang out with each other. So here I am juggling 3 things, and I have a podcast to do, and I do all this. And, you know, I think I'm a very generous man, and I think it's great to do some podcasting and kind of deal with that. So that's the situation I was dealing with. So aside from that kerfuffle, it's great to have someone returning on the air. I want to introduce him, none other than the return of Siki Assad. How you doing, my friend? It's been a long, long time.
It has. I'm doing pretty good. Like, I just got your message. Like, man, I can't believe I wasn't listening to this. I need to start paying attention.
Well, you know what? We're going to have you on for the whole show. My friend's going to stop stressing me out, and we're going to get right to the show. Let's talk about Mr. Brooks getting started on the Illinois wrestling scene. What kind of exposed you to promoting, and when you were you a worker before? Kind of what made you go to direction and the road as a promoter? Kind of like the bio of our co-host here. Kind of tell the fans how you got your start.
Well, working with a gentleman that most people in Chicago would remember, which was the Golden Boy, Paul Christie, and the Macho Man, Randy Savage. And, of course, his dad, Angelo Poffo, and his brother, Leaping Lanny Poffo, they ran ICW wrestling. But I actually started off as an emergency medical technician working for the state of Illinois. In the state of Illinois, we had to be licensed, the wrestling permission, which was initially was the state athletic commission, and then became the Illinois Department of Professional Regulation. So the wrestlers had to be, you know, checked prior to the matches. They had to get their blood pressures taken, their vitals taken, and then we were, of course, there, you know, for any injuries that came about. Which when we had guys like Abdullah the Butcher in the ring, you know, we always anticipated some work. I worked my way up into managing Paul Christie. I guess my 15 minutes of fame at that point was managing Paul Christie against the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and that was in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, and then against Pistol Pez Watley in Springfield, Illinois. So, you know, I kind of worked my way up step by step, you know, in the business, and always being around Paul Christie and a lot of the wrestlers. And most of my friends were either the ring announcers, my good friend Joe Moriello. I hope he gets a chance to listen in tonight. He was one of the great ring announcers, timekeepers. And we had some great referees. I got to mention that real quick to you. We had some great referees in Illinois, from Mike Figueroa, Stan Sauerbrunek, Henry Van Loon, all those guys. And one thing that I want to stress is that it took a lot more than just the wrestlers or the promoters and TV. It took everybody, from the guys putting up the rings to the referees, the timekeepers, the ring announcers, everybody, to make a great night of professional wrestling, and, of course, the fans.
Absolutely. I like how you touch up on that situation. You know, the Illinois wrestling scene, something I want to see a lot more of. You know, me being from Manitoba and Winnipeg, we're kind of in the middle of nowhere for wrestling territories and things to see, but Illinois is definitely a bit away, but it's worth the drive. And to see anything from that scene and anything from that coming is excellent. Illinois has so much history and has a lot to offer. And on the upcoming episodes of Wrestling World 247, we are going to come through with that. However, I have to deliver all of you guys a sad moment in the history of the podcast. Actually, we're going to get the live stream going first before we get this going. But before we get this live stream going, and while I do that, and while I address the Wrestling World 247 world, tell us about your son. You know, he's tearing it up on the independent scene right now, Ballistic Brent Myers. He was on this podcast multiple times as well. So kind of tell us what you taught him along the way so far.
Well, I thank you for mentioning the Ballistic Brent Myers. He has worked from the WWE, which he was he earned his spot. To be honest with you, starting off as a young man, he was always with me when I would go and do my, you know, my cards. He was around some of the greats, like I said, like Baron von Raschke, Ox Baker. He learned a lot from those guys. You know, we had so many great wrestling stars that would even come over to our, you know, to our house and have an opportunity to sit and pick their mind and travel with these guys. And I want you to keep in mind that, you know, while today, you know, everybody jumps on a plane and they're, you know, they're here, they're there, you know, night after night. And I'm not saying that's easy, but, you know, in the early days of professional wrestling, guys traveled by car. And so Brent, you know, had a chance to really get talking to these guys and travel a little bit and really talk to them outside of wrestling and learn a great deal. And mentioning the Golden Boy Paul Christie, I was just going to say Brent has nothing but respect for guys like that, because he always said he had one of the greatest arm drags that he ever saw. You know, if you watch Paul Christie, he was a real mat technician. And you know, some of the guys that don't get credit for some of their wrestling talents, and I'm going to mention this because a lot of guys, you know, think, you know, he was a pushover. Well, that was Pretty Boy Bobby Heenan. Bobby was a great manager, but he could wrestle, and believe me, he was a real tough guy, you know, outside of the ring as well. He wasn't afraid of anybody. So, so Brent's also doing MMA, and he's working with Dan the Beast Severn, one of the greats out of Coldwater, Michigan. So he's really getting his hands full. He's all over the map, and so it's great to have him carrying on. You know, like I say, I had the opportunity to promote, but the way I look at it, I believe me, I don't have any negative feelings. But when Hulk Hogan came about, unfortunately for us, it was kind of our turn to sit back, because we had all the greats from days gone by, and young people really wanted to see at that point, you know, Bruce the Barber Beefcake and King Kong Bundy and Hulk Hogan. So those were the names coming about. But you know, when we talk classic wrestling, we can go back to, you know, from Lou Thesz to Gorgeous George, you know, back to Hackenschmidt. So we had a chance to have all these greats, and I'll tell you, it's you know, professional wrestling drew more people, and this was a known fact that was brought out in the movie The Wrestler, that professional wrestling drew more fans than hockey, baseball, and football combined. The great Alex Karras, you know, got into it with his famous conflict at the bar with Dick the Bruiser. And, you know, Alex Karras was one of the meanest guys on the football field. But, you know, he saw that there was money to be made in professional wrestling. And, you know, I don't want to say that that's what it's all about, but, you know, the money talks, and, you know, so the greats came over from football, transitioned into professional wrestling, which we saw a lot, especially back, you know, back in those days.
Beaky, what have you been up to,
yeah,
my brother?
Nothing, just the same stuff, you know. Was going through some files, was writing, you know, all that. I was actually watching, like, man, this interesting thing on YouTube, Table for Three Divas. Yeah, I was, like, checking that out. I ain't even know that existed.
Well, I want to introduce something now to the wrestling. It's sad. It's sad news, but it comes with some good news. Wrestling World 247. Unfortunately, this is the last ever episode in the history of Wrestling World 247. As it will transcend into a new podcast, debating between two names, but for now, let's call it an exclusive show on VOC Nation, Jordan Garber Now, Late Night Vibes, every night, every Friday or Saturday night at 10:30. So anyone wants to come in, call in, all about good vibes, including you guys on Periscope, call in number 929-477-3893. Don't forget to add one to your phone. Sometimes it does it to mine, but call in, get involved, and be on the last ever episode of Wrestling World 247. I know we had good times, Seeky, but with the new era of Jordan Garber Now, definitely more good times are meant to be had. Mr. Brooks,
yes, sir.
Starting your promotion out for the first time, doing all of this, it costs a lot of money to run certain shows, you know, buying insurance for a venue. There's some fans that have no idea how hard it is to run a wrestling show in a solid venue and get a solid crowd and actually make money. How long were the baby steps for you to get through that process of, as they say, paying dues and working your way up as a promoter and making more money and building solider shows and getting better venues? How did that all work out for you?
Well, I used the other promotions that I had worked for as a learning experience. I worked for organizations like Windy City Wrestling, Sam DeCero, the promoter, Brad Davis, even Sonny Rogers. So what I did was I learned, I watched, I listened, and then I made great contacts in professional wrestling, you know, with all the stars, and started collecting, names and phone numbers. And, I started getting the guys saying, hey, look, you need to promote professional wrestling because we know that, you're a fair guy. And, unfortunately, there's guys in the business, just like any business, that are unscrupulous and try to get over and don't pay the wrestlers. And so they wanted somebody that would come in. So what I did was I would say 99% of my shows, wrestling cards that I did, were paid wrestling cards. Therefore, there was always guaranteed money when the wrestlers came in. And also, a little behind the scenes here for you. We had to pay the state a 10% tax. So in paying that, we had also had to pay for the timekeeper, the referee, and the ring announcer. And if we wanted to do anything special, let's say, for instance, we wanted to have a steel cage match or a over-the-top rope battle royal or any specialty matches like that, a chain match, we had to actually request that from the state, and they could allow or deny that, which I did have them deny a steel chain match because the last one that really went down was in Addison, Illinois, at the Addison Trail High School, and it was a match between Dick the Bruiser and Blackjack Mulligan and Bobby Heenan. So after that match, it just got so out of hand, and it was just a wild, wild match, and the state said, hey, that's it, no more. And so they actually denied me on a chain match. So we ended up with Baron Von Raschke doing a riot glove match where he was wearing a black leather glove with lead knuckles, Yeah. So it was, it was good though. We had some of the great stars and, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you're familiar with Rip Rogers, but Rip Rogers came in, he drove three and a half hours and he said, hey, you know what? One thing I always remember about promoter Bob Brooks, he always fed us real well. So, because I always used to put out food and cold drinks for the guys and made sure because I knew that they were coming in and I showed my appreciation for them driving hours and hours to get to the cards and, they always appreciated it as well. So, it built up, but to answer your question specifically, it really went pretty quick because of the association I had already with, some of the great professional wrestling stars and promoters.
And it's great that you bring up that whole feeding the guys and paying your dues and, respect and stuff like that. Learning that from Rip Rogers and what that has to offer and him to bring you up in conversation definitely adds name value and namesake. Basically, I want to just put my message out there, especially on the final episode of Wrestling World 247. I've been going to our local wrestling shows since 2008. I've had heat before and it sucks, and I've overcome that heat, and I've gone to the point where I got to earn a little bit of respect from the veterans just because I'm a team player, I'm helping out. But I have to just thank people like yourself, Mr. Brooks, or people on the Winnipeg scene as well, up for CWE. There's so many veterans on that crew that are just helping me out so much, just to whether it's taking with selling better in the ring when I have an odd Garber snake pit segment, or just have some fun. It's great to have veterans in the business around so they can continue to teach young up-and-coming people like myself about the tricks and the trade of the business. And the greatest thing about wrestling is it's like the car industry, you never stop learning, and the more things you say on this show, the more knowledge I absorb, and I think it's fantastic. It's definitely, I think it's mandatory that most young people in the wrestling world do develop this attitude, because wrestling, it literally is basically a candy shop.
Well, you know, if you're willing to learn, that's the whole thing, you know, guys. I mean, if you're willing to learn, there's wrestlers that will sit and talk wrestling with you, you know, for hours. But if they get the feeling that you're not, you know, putting in 110%, they'll turn their backs on you real quick. Or, you know, you get in the ring with some of the guys, and they'll give you a lesson in professional wrestling. So, you know, because there's some rough stuff boys out there, so.
And it kind of, it should put me on notice because, you know, I'm not really a worker. I'm a wrestling journalist. And because of that name mm-hmm. value, I'm in the ring doing those segments. But when I start training, because wrestling's my dream, I enjoy doing that. I like testing waters. I like to see how things go. So eventually when I do go down that path and I'm trained, I'm going to be knowing that I have a lot of dues to pay. You know what? I'm prepared for it because I respect the business. I respect its history. And that's why we have people like you on our show, because I think the problem with wrestling nowadays is that the past isn't reflected as much as it should be. And I think it's perfect to have someone like yourself sending the wrestling world those reminders. So bring it to Siki. It's great to have him on. I just wanted to bring that up quickly. You know, he's been on Wrestling Radio Ultimate, which has been a huge, subdivision show of Wrestling World 247, and it's great to have him on. So I want to thank him very much for being on the podcast tonight. Is there any final words you want to say? We're going to get you on next week as well.
All right. But this is what I want to say, Mr. Brooks. I'm sitting here like a little kid listening to his uncle talk about wrestling. That's why I'm so quiet. Like, usually, well, that no high, but anyway, usually I'm like trying to talk and everything. I'm just like sitting here listening. You're just answering all my questions, and I ain't even got to ask them. Like, I'm enjoying it.
Well, I appreciate hearing that. Where are you located at?
Houston, Texas.
Houston. Okay, so you had Southwest Championship Wrestling with Paul Brosh down there.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've never been, like, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, because back in the early days of the 60s and 70s, Paul Brosh was a promoter, and you had some great wrestling stars down there as well. And we could talk for hours just about that. And of course, I don't know if you made it up north up to the Dallas area, but when they used to have World Class Championship Wrestling at the Sportatorium, that was just, you know, some of the great wrestling in Texas, you know.
See, that was before I moved here. I've only been here 4 years. I'm originally from West Virginia, so I wasn't around for all that, but
uh-huh.
I know that Texas is a hell of a state for some wrestling.
Well, you know, now when you're talking about West Virginia, are you familiar with the Iron Cross?
I don't remember that either, actually, but there's a few good ones this day. Like, up
well, you probably remember
the Boogie
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, actually, Jimmy Valiant, the good, yeah, Jimmy's a longtime friend of mine. Jimmy's actually in West Virginia, and,
it's actually Virginia.
You know. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Jimmy's actually in Virginia, because when I lived in Virginia 2 years before I moved to Houston, I used to work at a Cracker Bar, and I, like, ran into him, like, often. Like, I even got a picture with him somewhere. I wish I could locate it. Yeah,
right.
He's a real friendly guy. I like Jimmy, man, I love that man.
He's real down to earth, and but I'll tell you what, when he was in his heyday in professional wrestling, he weighed about 275, and you know, of course, Jim's a lot thinner nowadays. He actually, him and his girl owned a flower shop down south, and then they moved up your way, and I still stay in touch with Jim. I see him at the Cauliflower Alley Club in Las Vegas. He tries
so
to make it out there.
So you referring to his original wife, like his son's, or I guess you could say his baby mama, so to speak, big mama, or do you mean his current wife?
Yeah, no, the first one there, yeah. When they had the flower shop, yeah.
Well,
so he was
great
to one time.
Sharing that insight, you know. And
yeah, because I think you're referring to Angel also, right?
Yeah, that's his new wife. That's the one I actually met in person, because I used to run into him, like I said, when I was working back there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and like I said, some great wrestling out there. Yeah, well, you had some great wrestling out your way, that's for sure. You know what I was going to ask up there in Canada now? Do you recall Grand Prix Wrestling?
Grand Prix Wrestling, no. I believe that's based in Ontario.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, Butcher Vachon and some of those guys, they were up there. And then also, of course, you know, I'm sure you know Bret Hart and the Hart Foundation out of Calgary.
Absolutely.
You know, and the Dungeon, Stu Hart's Dungeon, where he trained many a wrestler.
Absolutely. I am very familiar with Bruce Hart. I actually used to work with him on Heartbeat Radio. So
yeah,
I heard a lot of
myself
too, and it's great.
Yeah,
man,
myself as well.
From what I understand, Stu Hart used to kick your ass. Like, honestly, like that man. From what they say, he ain't play.
Oh, you're 100% right. His wife used to get upset because he would be downstairs, and I mean, just hurting guys, you know. And matter of fact, I asked Bruce Hart about that one time. Because there was a story about, and I'm not sure that it was Owen. It might have been someone else. But he said, you want to learn to be a professional wrestler? This is what it takes. And he almost broke his arm, you know, just almost snapped it. And, you know, he didn't care. He was just that rough and that tough. And he wanted you to be, you know, the same, or you didn't need to be there, you know.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? This was a great episode of Wrestling World 247, formerly now Jordan Garber, now Late Night. I do have to wrap it up quick, but there's going to be another episode coming very soon. Actually, I'm thinking of doing one tomorrow or Sunday, and then we're going to find a weekly time permanently. We're going to announce it on the Jordan Garber Now Twitter, since this is now a part of Jordan Garber Now. I'll have some interviews of that coming up. Thank you all for being on today, Mr. Brooks, alongside my former Wrestling Radio Ultimate co-host, Zeke Assad. It was great being back. For so long, Wrestling World 247.